Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, February the 20th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Bernie Sanders enters the 2020 race for president, also on the Wednesday rundown. Tuition or meals? We take you to a state where college students are fighting food insecurity, plus a new attempt to legalize hemp. First, our top story, Senator Bernie Sanders running for president again. CNBC reporting his ideas are no less sweeping than the last time he ran. The independent senator from Vermont launched the 2020 campaign on Tuesday. The self-described Democratic Socialist enters a crowded Democratic primary field that largely shares his views on key policies. According to CNBC, his broadside against corporations and business titans reflect a wider shift toward populism in the country. Out of all the Democratic candidates, CNBC says Sanders would bring perhaps the most drastic change for business and wealthy Americans. For decades now, cash-poor American college students have joked about their ramen noodles diet. But now more than ever, Ross Brown reports, students say they have to choose between buying food and paying tuition.
A first-of-its-kind federal government report found nearly 2 million college students are hungry. Frankie Becerra is president of the student advocacy group Lead MN at Century College in White Bear Lake. He works full-time to pay for a college education he feels will help him climb the economic ladder, but wonders how many people know that hunger can hamper success.
I don't think that necessarily people will say, oh, no, that doesn't happen. I just don't think they know the severity of it and how little resources there are on some campuses, because it can be a very embarrassing and demoralizing situation.
Becerra says his two-year community and technical college has a food pantry that students can access up to twice a month.
The Riverland Community College food pantry now feeds about 400 students a month. And parents want Washington State to reform its laws regarding wrongful death claims, Eric Teganoff explains.
Emily Locke was crossing the street when she was hit by a car and died 2 months ago. Locke, who had the rare genetic disease Coffin-Siris syndrome, was known for advocacy work around the world. Her mother, Cindy Locke, says she had many admirers, including a movie producer who would fly her to Los Angeles. Locke cherishes her daughter's memory and says she was in for another tragic surprise. Because Emily was 28, Locke cannot file a wrongful death suit, which means the driver who struck her can't even be held financially accountable for Emily's funeral costs.
It just feels so wrong. It's just like there's no way to get justice for this senseless act, this senseless wrongful death. There's no way to get justice.
Washington is one of a handful of states where the parents of children age 18 and older can't file a wrongful death claim unless they prove financial dependence on their children. However, a bill in the legislature would change that. Locke testified in support of the House version, HB 1135, in January. The Senate Committee on Ways and Means looked at the companion bill, SB 5163, on Thursday.
That same law also bars parents in other countries from seeking legal action. Washington is the only state with this kind of restriction. Proponents of a bill to add work requirements for Medicaid recipients in the state of Wyoming believe the measure will be successful as similar requirements for people who have left prison and food stamp recipients.
As the measure makes its way through the legislature, Chris Merrill with the Equality State Policy Center warns that Senate File 144 would end up hurting thousands of the state's most vulnerable residents.
Single parents who are sometimes recovering from a serious illness and are in treatment. This bill has the potential to capture people who are recovering from treatment for cancer, for example, and they're too sick right now to be working.
Merrill points to a similar policy passed by lawmakers in Arkansas, which led to more than 18,000 adults losing their health coverage in a matter of months. Proponents of SF-144 claim it would save the state more than $5 million and would encourage more able-bodied adults to get jobs. It would require all Medicaid recipients between ages 18 and 65 to work 20 hours a week, perform community service, or attend college or job training, or risk losing coverage. I'm Eric Galatas.
SF-144 was approved by the Wyoming Senate, but if it does not get a hearing in the House Committee of the Whole by February 21st, it's unlikely to advance. And finally, Mary Sherman tells us the same lawmaker behind the push to legalize medical marijuana in the state of Ohio is now turning his attention to industrial hemp.
State Senator Stephen Huffman, a Republican from Tip City, is co-sponsoring legislation to establish guidelines for hemp cultivation under the Ohio Department of Agriculture. While hemp is a relative of the marijuana plant, Hoffman explains it doesn't have the same properties.
There's a huge amount of misinformation. You can't get high off it. It doesn't have the psychotropic that the marijuana does. Once we get people educated that you can make rope, clothing, car parts, oils, it will be a great cash crop for the state of Ohio.
The 2014 Farm Bill created regulations for states interested in hemp pilot programs to research the crop. Ohio is one of 9 states that did not apply. Hemp is now no longer considered a controlled substance. It was redefined as a legal crop in the 2018 Farm Bill.
Medical marijuana was made legal in the state of Ohio in 2016 under a bill sponsored by Hoffman. The state's first dispensaries opened last month and, according to the state, sold 126 pounds of medical marijuana, totaling $947,000. I'm Mike Clifford, and you've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.